Well, I've titled this message, Get His Attention. Get His Attention. Hallelujah. You guys know we just had 24-hour prayer vigil this Friday and Saturday. What an amazing blessing. So many people turned up, some from home, some actually showed up on site and prayed every hour, you know, from 6 p.m. through 6 p.m., from, like I said, on Friday and Saturday. So I thank God for all the prayer teams, all those who committed to even pray even just 1 hour. Thank you for doing that. You don't know the effect that it's going to have, you know, as we move forward with the vision of God for Shiloh. Thank you once again for all those that joined. But I want to tell you, in the very first few moments of the prayer vigil, the Lord began to speak to me. And the Holy Spirit led me to a passage of Scripture that he wanted me to study. Sometimes he'll just say, remember this Scripture? Take a look at that. So then I opened it. I began to study it. And it was from 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7, which I'm going to talk about during this message. 2 Chronicles 6 and 7. And in this passage, they chronicle, they narrate the second, you know, of two encounters that King Solomon had with God in his early reign. However, before I describe the second encounter, I need to really tell you about what happened on the first encounter that Solomon had with God, and it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, because this is the beginning of his reign. He had just become king. He understood that he needed divine guidance. So in 2 Chronicles 1:6, it tells us, Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and says, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Can you see that Solomon gave a very generous offering to the Lord? He wanted to get his attention. He's thinking, I'm becoming king, and I can't do this without him. So he gave of the best that he had before God to get his attention. This was an extravagant sacrifice. It was a statement before the Lord. I'm going out all out for you. All out for you, God. So the first point of my message, and you know, I always have 3 points, is true faith has actions tied to it. True faith has actions tied to it. And oftentimes it's a verb, right? Like go and make disciples. But let me just tell you, God spoke to me. Sometimes the action tied to your faith is pause and don't move. If you were already in motion, God's saying, stop, sit down, rest, listen. But it is a way of showing action to God, commitment to God. I believe that's what God gave us, a day of rest. There'd be one day of the week when we stop from all of our activities, you know, and that we just, you know, like today we worship God, we want to hear His voice, we focus on Him, we make Him our priority. So like I said, the action tied to your faith is not necessarily, you know, a movement, but it doesn't mean to stop from movement as the Lord leads you. But here's the main thing. You can't just live by the words, oh, God knows my heart. Oh, God knows my heart. He knows my intention. You know, just like a woman likes to be pursued, God loves to be pursued. We must add actions to get His attention. I know the ladies like actions. And let me tell you, our God, He loves radical statements. He loves radical statements. As they say, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. You can have the best intentions to serve God, but there's no follow-through with your action. It means little to God. James the Apostle said, show me your faith by your works. Remember, Jesus said of a woman who one day gave an offering, and it seemed insignificant to everyone because all she has was 2 small coins. But Jesus said, she gave everything she had. And this is a much better offering than someone who just gives me leftovers of the abundance that they have. Actions get God's attention. So in this occasion that we were looking at, Solomon wanted to get the attention of God. So it says that he offered 1,000 bulls. He's like, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to give him my best. I'm trying to get his attention. You know, God loves everyone the same. He's expressed it the same. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God shows His love for us and that He gave His only Son. He gave His only Son to die on the cross, and that was the proof of His love. However, His favor, His blessing is tied to your actions. It's tied to your heart. It's tied to your follow-through. It's tied to your radical statements to get His attention. Look at what it says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Fully committed to Him. I'm just going to read that part. Let me say that again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. What are the statements that you're making before God? Are you getting His attention? God wants expressions of our commitment. He doesn't just want hidden intentions or a mediocre sacrifice. David, his father, once said, I will not give God anything that doesn't cost me. I will not give God anything that doesn't cost me. Are you giving God your best today? In trying to get God's attention, Solomon sacrificed something highly costly. So God was able to see, hey, Solomon means business with me. He wants to get my attention. So it says that the response of God, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, it says, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Ask, what shall I give you? So let's skip to verse 10 and see what God, you know, gave him based on Solomon's response. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Now give me wisdom and knowledge to govern, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any other after you have the like. Solomon got God's attention. Yes, it had been prophesied that Solomon would be king. God had ordered things, set up things so that Solomon would be king. However, it was still up to Solomon, you know, to pursue God. See, God wants to get the glory from us, and He can get it to us in a variety of ways. Do you want Him to get a little bit of glory, or do you want Him to get the full-blown amount of glory that He was supposed to get from you? Do you want Him to get the full potential that is in your life, that He designed since the beginning of the earth? You got to get His attention. So why is this so important to me? Because you guys know that I'm going to be going to full-time ministry here in this month. And to me, it was very important that we as a church, that we made a statement with a 24-hour vigil. That we as a people, Lord God, we can't respond for everyone else in the world. God, you've given us the land here in this community, and our job is to seek you with our whole heart. And we're making hereby this statement that we will love you above all things, that we're going to serve you above all things, and we're committed to prayer. That we want godly things. We don't just want good things. We don't want to have all kinds of activities. We want to be fully committed to the purpose of God, the perfect will of God, the things that He intended since the beginning of time, for the now, for Shiloh, for you and I. But you and I have a choice. Do we want Him to get a little bit of glory from us, or do you want Him to get all of the glory that He intended from the beginning? I don't know about you, but I want Shiloh to shine. Shiloh means Jesus. It's a prophetic name of Jesus. Not for our sake, but for the sake of Jesus, that we may put the cross and Jesus on a pedestal, and that it would shine across the community, and people would come to the knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. So this brings me to point number two. Do not build something that God does not inhabit. Do not build something that God does not inhabit, or He's not going to inhabit. So let's fast forward a little bit to chapter 6 and 7, which is that second encounter of Solomon with God. So he obeyed the directive of his father, who told him, you're going to build a temple worthy of God. It's going to be a beautiful temple. Solomon, it says, spared no expense in building the temple. He was extravagant in his design. Nothing but the best materials were employed. Are you hearing this? Nothing but the best was designated for God. But Solomon understands something very clearly. God cannot be contained in a building. Just like the church is not a building, much less God cannot be contained in a building. So if God does not choose to live in it, if God doesn't put a seal of approval on a building, you know, it's all in vain. It's just a nice structural design. It's just a monument. It's just brick and mortar layered with gold and precious gems. But God will not be there, and His blessing will not be there. Solomon understands that Jerusalem and the temple mean nothing if he's not in the midst of it. Look at what Psalm 127 verse 1 says. Unless the Lord builds the house. And let me just say it this way. Unless the Lord builds your house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. What are you building and is God in it? What are you building and is God in it? How often we build things with our hands that God has not a part in, and which amount to vain ambition. But once again, Solomon set his heart to go after God with all his might, just like we saw in chapter 1. After building this awe-inspiring piece of architecture, he cried out to God in front of the people. And we see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 18 to 21. It says, but God will indeed dwell with men on the earth. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication. O Lord my God. That's what we were doing. God, you know, we're seeking you. Let me tell you something. Shiloh has been a house of prayer. You guys know Pastor Joseph and Pastor Killen have always, you know, inspired and led people to seek God. They're people of prayer. You know, I thank God for our legacy team, as we call them. You know, Pastor Jim and Sister Rose and Pastor Denny and Miss Purdy and all the people that have gone before us have been people of prayer. But let me tell you, every so often, you have to recommit yourself to God. You have to rededicate your life to God. Because there's a wear and tear. There are different things that come into our lives that can distract us from the ultimate vision. So it's important that every so often we take a step back and we say, God, today I choose to recommit myself to you. I choose to recommit my marriage. I choose to recommit, you know, my future plans. And especially, we choose to recommit Shiloh to you. For another 40 years, God, let it be a place of your presence, God. Because this building cannot contain you. This temple cannot contain you. However, if you put your blessing on it, if you choose to be here, then people will be touched. People will be transformed. You know, people are going to be saved, healed, delivered, and empowered to live the life that you wanted for them since the beginning. So it says, going back to verse 19, yet regard the prayer of your servant as supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer with your servant, which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be open toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name. God, you called us here. You said you were going to put your name here. We just want to make sure that you do, and that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel, or your people Shiloh, when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And when you hear, forgive. Hallelujah. And then it continues a little bit further ahead on chapter 6, verses 28 to 31. It says, listen, this is important to us today. When there is famine in the land, when there's pestilence, another word for that is when there's a pandemic, when there is a plague, or there's blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers. It says, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, let me say that again, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, hallelujah. Solomon is saying, if we ever struck by a plague, we want to cry out to you from this spiritual temple, not so much from the physical temple, but from the spiritual temple, Lord God, in repentance and devotion that you may hear. Verse 29, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone, or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to the temple in humility, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive. And give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of the sons of men. Oh, let me say that again. He knows our heart. For he alone knows the hearts of the sons of men, that they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. So Solomon got his attention. He was so pleasing to the Lord. So God answers in chapter 7. And we all know these scriptures very well. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. If my people, this is God saying, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Come on. Allow God to search your heart. Allow Him to call sin, sin. Because He promises as we turn to Him, as we repent, as we humble ourselves, as we bow our knee to Him, as we pray around the clock, as we pray without ceasing, not necessarily in a prayer vigil, but in your hearts, while you're driving, when you're at the table, when you're at work, if you make a temple there before God, an altar before God, it says, then I will hear from heaven, you will get my attention, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Oh Lord, how we want you to heal our land. And verse 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer in this place. He's saying, not just now because of what you've done, Solomon, but I've put my seal of approval. Anytime that people come into this temple, my presence is going to be there. And I'm going to commune with them. And they're going to be touched. They're going to be transformed. And I will answer their prayer requests. And I will deliver my people. Hallelujah. So whether it's your marriage, your career, I ask you today, dedicate your spiritual temple, your career, your marriage, and be radical about it. Be radical about it. Don't give God the least of you. Don't give Him the leftovers. Give Him the best that you can. Get His attention, and He will reward you. He has a plan for you, but you can make it grand, or you can make it mediocre. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, says the scripture. It says, he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Substitute for this word diligently, radically seek Him. Uncommonly seek Him. People that give Him their best. I am praying for this generation of young people that they will leave everything to follow Him. That they will leave everything to follow Him. They're going to go to Bible college for a year or two before going to learn a career or a trade. I'm going to set aside, a year of my life to go seek God. I'm going to get His attention. Hallelujah. I'm looking for many young people responding to the call to full-time ministry and missions. Because Jesus is worthy of it. Jesus is worthy of His reward. But you can only get His attention if you're radical. Don't bring Him anything that doesn't cost you. Bring Him the best of you. Hallelujah. Cain did not bring his best offerings and God rejected it. But Abel brought him the first part, the first fruits, and He gave him the best. And God honored his offering. I desire to lead Shiloh with wisdom and to have His presence in all that we do. And I know the same thing goes for all the pastors and leaders, the key leaders and elders. Excuse me. Moses said of God's presence, you know, God, if you don't go before me, I don't even want to go. I don't want to go into the promised land if you're not there. That's not what I want. So we have lifted up prayers, supplications. We have lifted worship to woo God to our hearts, to woo Him to our homes, to woo Him to our place of worship. Because if the Lord is not in it, we labor in vain. We don't want it. Are you asking God to fill your home with His presence? You don't have to do it here. Obviously, the God calls us to worship Him in the assembly of the saints. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly of the believers. But We want to honor our authorities, and they're telling us to stay at home as much as possible. But you can make an altar right there. Are you drawing His presence into it? Are you building something beautiful in the outside, but that's something that God is going to fill with His beauty in the inside? So Solomon sought God with all of his heart and mind, asking for God's wisdom to govern and for His presence and for God to put that seal of approval on, not just in Jerusalem, but on the temple during His reign. And God answered. So once again, I thank God for all those that are participating, because we made a great stand to God, a great statement to say, Lord God, we love You above all things. And that brings me to my last point, point number three. When you get His attention, He pours out His favor upon you. When you get His attention, He pours out His favor upon you. In God's book, pursuit is as good as faith. Hallelujah. Pursuit is as good as faith. When He sees your commitment, He counts it as faith. Yes, He will test our resolve to see if we mean it. In Matthew 15, it tells us about a Canaanite woman. And it tells us there, obviously a Gentile, not a Jew, that her daughter was afflicted by demons. She was demon-possessed. So as the disciples were passing through with Jesus, this woman began to follow Him and said, have mercy of me. Have mercy on me. Deliver my daughter. Heal my daughter. But Jesus tested her resolve. He said to her, don't you know that I've come to the house of Israel? This is not my time for the Gentiles. I've not come to the Canaanites yet. I've come for the house of Israel. Jesus says, don't you know that the food is placed on the table for the children? But you know how this Canaanite woman, which showed her resolve, would show her faith, her pursuit, she said, yes, but even the crumbs that fall off the table, they're used to feed the dogs, you know, on the floor. Just showed her resolve. And Jesus saw faith in her, and she said, oh, you have great faith. That just tickled God's heart. To make the story short, Jesus said, I marvel at what you're saying to me. And He said, let it be as you desire. And it says, her daughter was healed. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Hallelujah. If my people will pursue Him, will humble themselves and pray, will bow their knee, will cry out to God, it says, then He will hear from heaven. And He will heal your land. He will heal your family. He will heal your son. He will heal your daughter. Hallelujah. He will heal your marriage. Hallelujah. Come on. Pursue God. Get His attention. Get His attention with all that you have. Pursue moves His heart. And then He pours out His favor upon you. I want to assure you that God has heard our prayer. You know, and as I was praying, God began to speak to me. And He showed me some things that He wants for Shiloh in the days ahead. So I want to read them to you. This is what He said to me. It's not about any one church. He said that very clearly. You're not to lift up your name. You're not to lift up the name of Shiloh. We're to lift up the name of Jesus. And like I said earlier, He said to me, let Jesus get His just reward. Let Jesus get His just reward. What is His reward? Is these children. Is the ones that He died for. We're going to win them wherever the Lord will lead us. And we're going to help other ministries. We're going to enable other ministries. It's not about Shiloh. It's about Jesus getting what He deserves. Number two, He said to me, God wants to get the most glory from us. So I've talked about it quite a bit. He wants to squeeze every ounce of purpose out of us. But it's up to you and me how we're going to respond. And number three, He said, God wants us to see the value in others that Jesus was willing to pay with His life and in His blood. He wants us to see value in others. To the least of these, He said, go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And this is what He said to me, you can't really see through my eyes unless you spend time with me. It takes time in His presence for God to renew our hearts and renew His minds. And once we're full, He begins to show us the love that He has, not just for us, but for the people around us. And then you will begin to love people unconditionally. Hallelujah. He said to me also, you need to esteem others higher than yourself. You need to esteem others higher than yourself. Every person around you esteem them higher. Submit yourself to them out of reverence for Christ. Humble yourself. The Bible says that if we humble ourselves, He will lift us up in due time. Next thing He said, our mission, and if I can say my mission, must become to enable others to reach higher towards their full potential, their God-given potential. My job is to see the gift of God in you, the gift of God in you, the gift of God in you, and to help you reach it. God will take care of me if I take care of His people, if I will see their value, and I will help them go a level higher. He will honor you. And then the last thing He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. But once again, He showed me these realities cannot be achieved unless we spend a lot of time with Him in His presence. That's when He begins to impress His heart. He begins to tear down, you know, strongholds of the mind, toxic thinking, you know, insecurities and fears and things like that that keep us, you know, from walking in the love and the fullness that God has for us. So that's why at some point that we commit ourselves to spending time with Him every day. Not just a 24-hour prayer vigil once in a while, but it becomes that we have a lifestyle of going in the closet, going in that secret place with Him, because something amazing happens there, that our heart gets turned, you know, towards His. And our heart becomes closer to what His looks like, and we begin to love people more like He would. And then we are able to say Jesus' prayer. You know, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we have His heart. Hallelujah. Then He will say to you, do whatever is in your hand to do, because my heart is in your heart. So whatever you do is going to be done just like I would do it. And I'm going to bless it. And I'm going to multiply it. And I'm going to honor it. Hallelujah. And it's going to bring glory to me. So I want to finish by reading Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And this is talking about a religious people. Oh, God is wanting to weed out the religious spirit in us. He wants to put a new wineskin in us. Then it says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's what get God's attention. Get His attention. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, people. God has called us to love. We have a great opportunity in our community to love our neighbors. You know, and the word neighbor, you know, as defined by Jesus, is not just, you know, the ones in the community of believers. It's talking about anyone, you know, that you may not even regard. They may not even have come in contact before. It could be a stranger that you meet on the street. But somebody that you'd be willing to show with actions the love of Jesus. Remember, faith always has an action attached to it, tied to it. What are you going to do to love God above all things and to love your neighbor as yourself? Hallelujah.